saved. And tonight we're glad that the one who's coming to tell us about that moment in his own life when he came to Christ is a saved man. And he's coming to share with us just now, Adrian Coffey, his testimony to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll invite you to come now, Adrian, and the Lord richly bless you, brother. Thank you.
Just saying to Thomas there, I wish I could sing. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank God for this opportunity for to come and tell you what he's done for me in my life, how he saved me from a watery grave. And that last time we were singing, there's a wee word in there that means a whole lot. Grace.
Yes.
God's riches.
Amen.
At Christ's expense. That's what that means. And I thank God tonight for his saving grace. Thank him tonight that I've got a testimony to give. And there's a portion of scripture I want to read with you. It means a lot to me. And it explains probably a lot about me and what I went through. It's Psalm 34, starting at the verse 1. Psalm 34 and the verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved them out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen. Well, as you all have heard, my name's Adrian Coffey, and I was born on the 15th of March 1967. Into a Christian home. I have an elder sister called Diane, and I have two younger brothers who are twins, Francis and Stephen. And as a young boy, I was sent faithfully every week to Gloucester Presbyterian Church and the Sunday school and the Christian Endeavour and every other meeting that was going on in the church. But you know, it's mainly from faithful Sunday school teachers that I heard and learned about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for me, and that how he went to the cross at Calvary, and there he shed his blood and died for me. And it wasn't till I was about 9 years old that there was a 5-day Bible club came to Calhoun Park. That was the estate where we lived, down in Clochy, just outside Port of Uge. And here we learned Bible stories and memory verses, and we sang choruses and one thing and another. And one verse which I still remember learning at that wee club to this day was in Revelations 3 and the verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Well, we went to the meeting, went to that wee club every night. And on the last night, it was Friday night, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart and to forgive me for my sins. And so he did. I was going to and attending Kirkuson Primary School at the time. And as you all know, It's easy to love the life when you're in primary school. But it wasn't long until I was going to the big school, Glastry, secondary school. Well, for the next few years, everything went fine, but as I got further into my teenage years, I slowly but surely drifted away from God. I only thought about him when I was in need, began to trouble, or I was in a tight spot. Maybe would have prayed, said the odd prayer. Where we lived at in the estate, it's right beside the football field. And I was never out of the football field. I was mad about football. Mad about all kinds of sports, but football was my love. And I spent many happy hours kicking a ball through that football field with my mates. And then I went on to have lots of great memories playing for some of the local teams. Down in Port of Ogie, in the Clochy area, whenever I was growing up, a teenager, as I say, a lot of us had after-school jobs. And mine was learning how to work with fish. I worked for one of the local fish processors from when I was about 11 or 12 year old to I was 15 or 16 after school every night. Went down and learned how to smoke fish, how to skin fish, pack fish, fillet fish, smell a fish. So I done all that. And I was also a member of the Red Hand Defenders Float Ban in Port of Ogie. And I loved walking with them. But as I went through my teenage years, you know, I never really knew what I wanted to do. I was doing okay at school and, you know, everything was going alright at school. But I never had a clue really what I wanted to do, what I wanted to be when I left school. But my career path was already seen to, it was already laid out for me. For my father was a skipper owner of one of the local fishing boats, the trawler. 12 were prawns, and he took a major stroke when he was 48 and left him paralysed down one side and unable to speak. Now he's still alive to this day by God's grace. He's 86 now, still not able to speak very well, but he can walk about. But as he took this stroke, I left school and I went and started to work on the boat. So my career path was sort of laid out for me. That was so. I began a life at sea, and that was in June 1984. It's a long time ago. Later on that year, I began to go out with Angela, and she attended with her family the Free Presbyterian Church down in Port of Ogie. I don't know about now, but I know back then Presbyterians going with Free Presbyterians wasn't the dumb thing. They looked on too well. But, you know, Angela, as a good Free Presbyterian she was, coaxed me to go with her to the meetings. And after a while, I gave in. And I went. And I can honestly say, from the very first hymn that was sung in that church in Port of Ogie, it was the old church then, I was convicted of my sins. Every single meeting that I went to with her, I was convicted of my sins. I remember the first meeting I went to, it was the Reverend Jim Harton was the preacher. And I was convicted of my sin. I remember it very, very well, but unfortunately for me, I went out the exact same way as I went in, without the Lord. Well, as I say, I was out the fishing, and I don't know if anybody here has been out the fishing, but the fishing's a hard life. It's got its rewards, but it's a really hard life. It's hard work, it's long hours, and it's often through miserable, bad weather. But you know, it was also really exciting to be out there fishing, to see what was going to come up in the nets. Every day it was something different. It wasn't the same thing every day. Something different every day. There might have been something went wrong. You had to fix it, or you tore your nets, you had to mend them. Something new every day. You didn't know what was going to come up in the nets. Was it going to be a bag of fish, or was it going to be a lot of prawns? Or it was exciting. But you know, the psalmist got it right, exactly right, whenever he tells us that they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. And if you speak to any seaman, he'll tell you that's true. You know, although God gave me many opportunities to get right with him, I rejected them every single time. I kept running after the things of this world, which didn't bring me any satisfaction, only for a short time. But you know what they did give me? Nothing but regrets. And as a result of this, I was getting further and further away from God. I was going into pubs, into clubs, not drinking or taking part in any activities at the start, but slowly but surely, I started drinking, started smoking, things that I never intended to do, going into places I should never have been in and saying things that I should never have said, and doing the things that I knew not to do. I was doing them. But you know, as I've said about the Bible before, it's exactly right, everything that's in the Bible. The Apostle Paul tells us all about our nature, how we do the very things that we know not to do, and the things that we ought to do, we just don't do them. But the next big step in my life was when Angela and I got married on the 9th of May 1992. The 9th of March the following year, our first son, Aaron, was born, and we were absolutely delighted. But something happened the very next month after Aaron was born that made me consider my ways. We were fishing at the Isle of Man along with a few other boats from Puerto Vogue. And that particular day, the wind was southerly, and it was a soft southerly wind to start with, but all day it just kept increasing and increasing, and by tea time that night it was a gale. There was a full gale blowing. As we made our way back home again to Puerto Vogue, the weather had been was so bad then, but it was a strong gale, real strong gale, real bad, dirty night, we would have called it at the fishing. That was a dirty night, lumpy seas. And listening on the ship's radio coming across the channel, I heard one of the local skippers making a mayday call. He'd been fishing beside us that day, the whole day. He left the fishing grounds about an hour before us, and he was on the wireless making a mayday call. A big rogue wave, maybe two, had hit his boat. Three of his men were washed over the side. He was able to get one back under the boat again, but there's two still missing. So we and all the other Puerto Vogue fleet made to his possession, and as we searched for these men up down through the dark and stormy sea, but to no avail. Two men were lost into God's eternity. And as we searched that night for them, I began to think, what if this was you? What if this had happened to me?
but I shrugged it off and we headed home. And, you know, it was a really bad tragedy to hit Porto Vogue, the worst that I had seen or heard of. A lot of people in the village were affected by it. A lot of people came to Christ. Even some that I knew got saved. But again, I told myself, this will never happen to you. Nope. I'll not happen to me. How wrong was I? For not long after that, the 7th of July, we were fishing again in the middle of the Irish Sea. Myself and three crewmen found ourselves in the sea when a large freight ferry ran onto us. It was a beautiful summer's day. There wasn't hardly a breath in the on the sea. The sea was flat, calm, not a ripple. And our nets had become stuck in a pipeline that had just been laid between the Isle of Man and I think it was Dublin. Our nets had come snagged right in the bottom. As we worked to try and get them free, I heard my brother yell, "This boat's going to hit us." And when we looked up, it was too late to do anything. This big, massive ferry was right up above us. I remember shouting "jump" to the crew, and the next thing we knew, we were in the sea. And this big ferry had hit us, and as we thought it, just didn't even notice it had, didn't even know it had, just went on, kept on going. A lot of damage was done to our boat, but it didn't sink, so two of the crew were able to get back onto it and hold on to fenders. But the other man, he couldn't swim, but he wasn't long learning. He'd tell himself that day he got his oil gear kicked off in his boots and he lay on his back and he was okay. I was with him. I could swim. But after a while in the water, we're in the water about an hour, I began to struggle. I couldn't get these bits of mine kicked off from my oil gear. That's caused me to get into a bit of a panic. And the panic got worse and worse as I couldn't get the bits off to the extent that I thought was going to drown. During this time, little thoughts went through my mind. I remember thinking about Angela, my wife, and about Aaron. He's only 3 months old. Never going to see them again. And then I thought about the Lord, and I said, "Lord, save me." Well, whenever I said this, it was, you thought somebody had put butter down in between my leg and my boots, because my boots just dropped off with ease. Hardly any effort. I was able to gain control of myself again. The big ferry that we thought had just kept on going, there was a lorry driver on the ferry who either heard or seen what happened, and he raised the alarm. And while all this stuff was going on, the ferry had come back again, and it lowered down its lifeboats and we were taken ashore. You know, for a long, long time after this, I didn't tell anybody what happened. Didn't even tell Angela. I was wrestling with the thought, did I say, "Save me, Lord," just to save me from this situation? I was using God again, just because I was in trouble. Or did I mean, "Lord, save me from my sins"? But I knew inside that I wanted to change, so I made a firm commitment to the Lord. I put my faith and my trust back in him again. Amen. That's almost 29 years ago. Amen. And thank God he's kept me by his sovereign grace ever since. But you know, to my shame, I've let him down many, many times. But you know what the truth is? He has never let me down. See, there's a promise in the Bible. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And you know, that's all about thee. He'll never leave you. If you're a backslider here tonight, he hasn't left you. You have left him. He'll never forsake you. It's you that has forsook him. You know, that promise is so relevant to me. And I've proved it so many times. I could go over countless things in my life that has happened. And the Lord has never, never let me down. Never. Doesn't matter what you're going through in your life. Should you be on the top of the mountains, on the crest of a wave, he's there with you. Doesn't matter where you're down in the valley deep, going through troubles and trials. He's that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. You'll find that. I'm not saved tonight because of anything Adrian Coffey has done. I want to make that perfectly clear. I've done nothing. I'm not good. I'm not deserving. And I'm not righteous. But I can tell you tonight, I'm depending on somebody who is. See, Ephesians 2 and the verse 8 and 9 says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God has blessed Angela and I in so many ways, not least with the children that he's given us. As I told you, Aaron, and of Curtis and Amy came along in May 1995, set of twins. Then we had another set of twins. James and Charlotte, they came along in October 1997. And then Lee, and he was worse than any twins. He came along on the 28th of December 2005. And I'm glad to say tonight that each one of them has made a profession.
Amen.
And I've even had the joy and the privilege of leading someone unto the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
These are some of my mountaintop experiences.
Amen.
And I thank God for them. But you know, just because you're a Christian, that doesn't mean to say that you won't have any trials, any troubles, or any temptations in your life. Doesn't mean that. Certainly doesn't mean that. In fact, you might have more. On the 21st of January 2005, it's a Saturday morning, I woke up with a strange feeling in my chest. I tried to get it shook off by getting up and moving about, had a shower, different things, but I just couldn't shrug it off, and it started to get worse and worse. And then this arm, you'd have thought somebody was tightening a rope around it. And it got tighter and tighter, and then down into my hand, numbness and pins and needles. I woke Angela up, and she rang the ambulance. And when I got to the hospital that day, they told me that I'd taken a heart attack. And I thought to myself, I can't be right. I'm only 37. It's only a couple of weeks ago, by the way. Only joke. But I spent a week in hospital, and I had an angio done through the artery to see what was blocking, whatever was blocking. But 2 weeks after I got that done, I was rushed back into the hospital again with a false aneurysm in my groin, because the artery in my leg had burst and was starting to seep into my leg. And this was the most painful thing that I ever suffered. You know, an arrival at City Hospital took me into an examination room where the doctor started to investigate what was going on, and there was this big lump in the, on my groin, and he started to mess about with it, and he pushed at it and squeezed at it, and the next thing the blood just flew up and hit the roof, started to gush at my leg. And to put my mind at ease, he looked at me and he said, "If I can't get this stopped, you've got 3 minutes.
Right, sir.
I'm just telling you that tonight because I didn't expect that. And I just wanted to leave something with you tonight. What would you think? Because I didn't expect that, and you don't know what's right around the corner. What would your answer be to that? Somebody told you you've only 3 minutes. I was thinking about this today. So I was, and I can remember I was content knowing that I was saved. And I thought to myself, how would anybody face that that wasn't saved? Because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You don't know what's round the corner.
Yeah.
Life is so fragile. Well, as you can see, the clamp worked. And after a month in hospital, they were able to repair the puncture in my leg. And you see, God's good all the time. That's what that verse says. So taste and see that the Lord is good. I can tell you tonight, He is good. A verse that was given to me by a very good friend shortly after this was really encouraging to me. And it's found in Psalm 73 in verse 26. "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." The great thing about trusting God is when you trust and obey, He just keeps on blessing you. I'm delighted to be able to tell you tonight now I've got 4 grandchildren, Levi and Lydia and Annie and Alice, and I'm waiting on one coming in the next couple of weeks. And what a blessing they are. And I thank God for every good and perfect gift He's given us. You know, that boat accident happened, as I said, almost 29 years ago. And I often think to myself, was this the last time that I was going to have an opportunity to get right with God? Because His word tells us that my spirit will not always strive with man. And another place it says, "Today if ye shall hear my voice, harden not your heart." And maybe like me, God has given you many opportunities to accept Him as the Lord Jesus Christ, as your own and personal Saviour. And He speaks to us, you know, with that still, small voice through a tract or a memory verse, or maybe even a friend talking to you and telling you about Him. But you know, sometimes He has to speak with His thunderous voice, maybe through a health scare or a tragedy, or maybe even a pandemic. The question is, I have the night for you, is what's it going to take for you to get right with Him? If you asked me the night if I had any advice for you, if you're looking for advice, I have, glad to say. You find it in His word, Isaiah 55. And the verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. Because you know something, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank you for listening. Amen.
I certainly enjoyed that word of testimony, so sincere and straight from the heart, and no words or graces, and you certainly couldn't say that you didn't know how to be saved and how to come to the Lord, and our brother certainly has made that clear. I never intend to preach at these meetings. I like the singer to come with a gospel message, and I like also the one testifying, and they've done a good job. I always sit in the pulpit and I just listen intently, and I just ask the Lord to speak to me, to give me some closing words. And our brother mentioned just a little phrase in his testimony, and you may not know, folks, but it's found in the Bible. He spoke about the boat going out, and he said these words. And I'm picking you up right, Adrian. You said there was a southerly wind. And the Bible speaks about that in Acts chapter 27, verse 13. And here's what it says. The south wind blew softly. It gave a false impression. That's exactly what happened. And our brother knows more about the sea and fishing than I do. I just like the sandwiches made out of tuna, salmon, and the cod bites and the fish suppers and all that that you men work hard for. Thank you very much indeed. It's taken years of neglect to make me this size, by the way. But the south wind is a deceptive wind. It blows softly. It gives the impression that there's a wind just to take the sail, and there's a wind that would just give you a calm as you go out to sea. And it's a very deceptive wind, the south wind. And it blows softly. There's no warning of a gale. In fact, it can even be a gentle and even a warm breeze. But it's a deceptive wind. And I want to tell you something. The spiritual lesson was given because the Apostle Paul said that those on board the ship that he was on, a south wind blew softly and we set sail. And they were wrong. Paul warned them, don't set sail. God has told me that this is going to be a hazardous journey. But the south wind blew softly, and they believed the weather and the south wind because it was a gentle breeze. I want to tell you something as we close out this meeting. There is a south wind blowing softly. It's a very deceptive wind tonight. It's going to take you off course. It's going to drive you onto the rocks of Christ's rejection and to shipwreck for eternity and eternal ruin. That south wind is blowing already in this meeting house. It's the devil. And he's saying to you, sinner, all is well. That is a south wind that blows softly in this meeting. All is well. Okay, Adrian came to the Lord and he was in danger and he called out in the open sea, but I've never been in danger in my life, and I don't believe really that there is a hell. I don't believe that a God of love would ever punish anyone in hell. All is well. That's a south wind. It blows softly and it takes you away from Christ and the cross. It takes you away from heaven and it drives your soul toward hell. All is well. I don't believe there's a judgment day. I don't believe a God of love would punish anyone. All is well. I don't see that on the horizon there's judgment for me. I don't see the way you people preach and believe that I need to be saved. All is well, but it's not. It's far from well. And the south wind can blow softly in a meeting like this and give you the impression that you can sail out to eternity's shore believing all is well. Or maybe there's a south wind blowing softly and it says to you, not only all is well, but there's plenty of time. That's a very deceptive wind that's blowing in this meeting house tonight. Because there are individuals upstairs and down, and you know you need to be saved, and you know it. You don't have to be told by Adrian Coffey or James Gailey or Thomas Martin that you're a sinner. You know it. You know it full well. You don't need to be told that there's a heaven and a hell because you know it. You don't need to be told that Christ is God veiled in human flesh. You believe that. You don't need to be preached at. You don't even need to be told again how you can be saved by taking the sinner's place, repenting of your sin, and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him into your heart as your own and personal Savior. But I want to tell you something. There's a soft wind, a southerly wind, that's blowing softly in this meeting house. And it's telling you, sinner, that you've plenty of time. And that's a deceptive wind, because you do not have plenty of time. Our brother Adrian spoke about God's Spirit not always striving with man. I picked up on that. He spoke about incidents in his life when he could have been out in God's eternity. He could have been out in God's eternity even trying to help those men that were lost at sea. He could have been in God's eternity. The time he was in the water himself and he thought he was going to drown. He could have been in eternity with that heart attack, aneurysm. Maybe he didn't get right with God, but he did. But he could have said, sure, I've plenty of time. Isn't that what the devil says? The south wind blows softly tonight. It gives the impression that all is well when it's not. And you're a sinner on a judgment, on a course to judgment, and a collision course with God. And then it says all is well. The south wind blows softly and it says you've plenty of time. Sure, you got away with it last Sunday night. You're in this meeting house, you heard the gospel, you're brought under conviction, but you entered through those doors into the darkness of the night, and here you are again on another Sunday evening, and you're in God's house, and you've taken no heart attack, you've taken no stroke, and no car has damaged you, and no accident or harm has come your way, and you feel, well, sure, I'll get away with it tonight, if plenty of time. What a fool you would be. That's what is known as a soft wind blowing, a south wind blowing softly. It's a very deceptive wind at sea, you know. And there's many a sailor and a captain has set sail because the south wind, the gentle breeze, the warm air signaled to move. And they met with shipwreck on the open sea. And maybe it could be that a person's here tonight and that south wind is blowing softly, that deceptive wind of the devil. And he's telling you you're a good person. You're not like Adrian Coffey. You haven't gone into public houses. You haven't started to smoke and drink and do other things. And you're not like that minister in the pulpit and the life that he lived. Surely people like that need God's salvation, but not me. I'm a good person. I've been a good husband. I've been a good wife. I've been a good grandparent. I've been a good brother or sister. I've been a good individual. I've climbed the social ladder. I have helped society rather than hinder society. And I have an individual who has a mere belief in God. Or, you know, I read my Bible. I go to church. I say my prayers. I give money into the collection plate. I help charities. You know, you don't even know what I do. And I'm a good person. I want to tell you something, friend. That's what is known as a south wind that blows softly. And it takes the sinner off course. And it drives you to eternity sure, believing that you're a good person. Never accepting you're a sinner. And that your sin separates between you and God. Your sin shuts you out of heaven. Your sin will sentence you to eternal hell unless that sin is forgiven. Unless that sin has been found to have met upon the body of God's dear Son at the place called Calvary. I want to tell you there's a south wind blowing softly in this meeting house as we close. It's a deceptive wind. But I'm glad tonight that the truth of God's word will come, not as a gentle breeze, but as a tornado to your heart. And God would speak to you now. This is your moment, just as it was in the open sea when our brother prayed and got right with God. And came to the Lord. Just at that moment, tonight is the night that you need to be saved. You don't become a free Presbyterian. You become a born-again Christian, saved by God's grace. And friend, I want to tell you something. Don't let the south wind blowing softly across your heart and soul take you off course tonight. But realize that you're a sinner. Realize that you alone need to be saved. You personally need to come to Christ. It's no good that your loved ones are saved and family members and your friends that are saved. It's no good. It cannot take you to heaven. You need Christ tonight. You need the Savior. And you need to come in repentance and faith. And you need to accept Christ as your own and personal Savior. And it is a personal relationship, yes. And it is a personal thing, yes. but the preaching is public. And we invite you tonight, we call in the gospel to you to come to Christ tonight, to receive Christ as your Saviour and as your Lord tonight, and to accept him. And if you do so, then he'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll wash you in the Saviour's blood. He'll save your soul tonight. He'll forgive all your sin. He'll give you eternal life. He'll give you a place in heaven. Now, will you reject him? Will you turn away tonight? We pray that God will use this testimony and those messages and song and this brief word to touch your heart, to speak to your soul that this night is the night that you must be saved. Now you say, preacher, I'd like to be saved. I'm wanting to be saved for a long time. I would love to get right with God. I know I need to be saved, and I know I need to be saved now. But I want to say something to you. Don't you leave this house tonight until you get right with God, until you know for sure that it's well with your soul. Young person, older person, whoever you are, out of Christ, without a Savior, you come tonight. Now we cannot save you, but I want to tell you something, whether myself or our brother Adrian or one of the elders here in the church or some Christian friend that you know, that you feel comfortable with, able to sit down with you tonight and open the Bible, the Word of God, and show you from Holy Scripture how you can be saved and sure of heaven when death comes or the Lord returns. Now there's supper for everyone. You're invited. You can go over to the church hall. Make your way over there, please do that. And there are tables. You can sit anywhere you want. If you want to sit in your little bubble, and we know what that is. If you want to sit in your families because of COVID, well, we understand that and we respect that. And there are tables over there. You can sit there with whoever you want. And we trust that there will be a good mix of people around the tables. Get to know one another over a cup of tea and some refreshments. But for those who are anxious about their soul and they would love to be saved, well, I want you to wait behind tonight. You make sure you settle that matter and don't go away without Christ. Father in heaven, I want to thank thee tonight for a sense of thy presence, for answers to prayer. We thank thee for thy servant who has ministered in song. We thank thee, Lord, for our brother Adrian and for his clear word of testimony. And we thank thee for thy gracious dealings with him. And we bless thee, Lord, that thou hast blessed him richly and encouraged his heart. We pray for his wife Angela. We pray for the children and the grandchildren and the one to be born. And we commend them all lovingly to thee and pray you'll bless them as a family. Remember Adrian and his work in Porto Vogue. We thank thee, Lord, you've called him into the eldership. We pray you'll encourage him there and grant, O God, that he will help in the pastoral care of the church, and you'll encourage thy servant and bless him. So remember those who have gathered, young and old alike, and especially some who are out of Christ without a Saviour. Let this be the night, Father, in the Saviour's name, that they turn from their sin and they accept the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart as their own and personal Saviour. Lord, we pray, do thy saving work. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll receive of our thanks for the good things that have been provided, and as folks make their way over to the church hall, we pray you'll bless them around the fellowship table, and you'll encourage our hearts tonight and watch over us, we pray, as we commit our way now to thee. Receive of our thanks in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Folks, you're all very welcome to stay. Please make your way through the front doors across to your right-hand side and into the church hall, and the ladies are there to serve you, and there are tables set up and all to sit at. Thank you.